Who is behind the training of 2 million Americans in Saul Alinsky-like tactics, creating a shadow government? Stay tuned.
My hope for America is that Americans will remember who we are and the greatness of this nation. We didn't just spring out of nothing. We were here because there were believers in Jesus Christ who wanted to come to this land and bring the promise of the gospel. But they did everything they could to create a society that was built upon a Judeo-Christian ethic. What other people can say? They had that privilege of living in a nation that, in our human ways, tried to honor God. That's what we need to remember, this great gift and privilege that we have been given. Let's rediscover these principles, and again, the United States will remain a shining city on a hill that spreads the power of the gospel and brings freedom and hope and life to mankind.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today, Jan begins a two-part series to help you understand what is happening now in our nation's capital. With all the negative press surrounding our new administration, Jan has asked some reliable sources to discuss the so-called shadow government operating behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. Jan meets this hour with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and former Department of Homeland Security official Philip Haney. Jan's guests are here to unpack the issues facing us following the Trump election. The information you'll hear in this two-part series today and next week will surprise and inform you. Here to begin part one of our series, Jan Markell.
You're a little further ahead. You've made a little progress. And I can say that we've done that, and I want to make sure that handoff is well executed, because ultimately, we're all on the same team.
Organizing for Action, the political group that grew out of former President Barack Obama's first election campaign, is reforming after withdrawing from the public eye. Jennifer Warner will return to the group as National Organizing Director, and former Clinton campaign spokesperson Jesse Larich is joining the OFA as its Communication Director. The group has hired 14 field organizers in states that are home to key senators as part of its campaign to defend Obama's Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. With Trump in the White House, the relaunch of OFA will claim a spot in the increasingly crowded marketplace of associations seeking to challenge the new president's agenda. What role Obama himself will play in the group remains unclear.
And welcome to the program. We look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective, helping you understand the times, contend for the faith, become a watchman on the wall. Well, we're going to talk about a number of things today, including that little clip you just heard, Organizing for Action. What on earth is that? I have two very special guests in studio with me today. I'm going to introduce them both. One is the very familiar voice. You've heard her on this program many times. You've heard her as a conference speaker, Michelle Bachmann. She was a representative to Minnesota's 6th District from 2006 to 2015. Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Always a privilege to be with you.
And I'm so honored to have an American hero in studio. And Phil Haney, I know you don't like to be called that, but you are. And you're an original member of the Department of Homeland Security. I've had you on air before. You tried to tell the truth about radical Islam in America. Your computers were virtually shut down so that you couldn't tell the truth. The whole story is in the book, which we promoted a year ago, See Something, Say Nothing. A Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad, which Michelle Bachmann has a foreword to. Welcome to the studio.
Very glad to be here. Thank you.
I started with that little clip, Organizing for Action, because let me just go kind of to the beginning of my thoughts, and that is the left is out of control. We can all see that. They're stunned at the election result. Some consider Donald Trump equal to Hitler, a dictator, et cetera, et cetera. How far will they go in their pushing back? Michelle, how far do you think they will go in their pushing back?
Well, in their minds, Jan, they still are in control. They realize that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but Organizing for Action is both Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett and the left's institution that they are using to maintain control of their radical leftist, some would say Marxist, some would say communist agenda that they tried to put through in the United States for 8 years. They've not given up. They're not relinquishing power. They're just using other actual institutional means for trying to reclaim that power. Organizing for Action is one of those.
I'm just reading an email you sent me, Michelle. You said Obama and Valerie Jarrett are communist ideologues working harder than any other entity in America to bring down our constitutional republic. You say, I experienced this firsthand, how they use the federal government to destroy political enemies. They have 8 years of embedded henchmen in our government. Trump should do a major reduction in force across the government, then restock with employees loyal to him. Phil Haney, would you agree with that?
Completely. Especially from a retired federal law enforcement officer's perspective. It's not theoretical to me at all how far they will go and what they're capable of, because I saw it up close and personal. I was investigated by these same individuals that are going after members of the president's cabinet 9 times during the course of my career, so I know exactly what they're capable of. They have no qualms whatsoever about disregarding due process and existing law if they feel it's necessary to achieve their goals.
There are 30,000 people involved in this Organizing for Action, 250 offices, up to 2 million could be trained in Alinsky-like tactics to come against the current administration, but for that matter, Michelle, to come against the American people.
Well, that's true, and I think we saw that recently. Some of your listeners may have heard of the incident at Middlebury College, where a professor named Charles Murray from the AEI Institute, it's a think tank, went to speak on a topic. And essentially, the entire meeting was taken over by these radical leftists who were organized. And the bizarre thing is that the students actually physically attacked and assaulted a liberal female middle-aged professor who is merely trying to get the speaker, Charles Murray, out of the building. And she was physically attacked. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at right now. There's no more debate. Now we're on the street organizing with violence.
All right. But Phil, this is a quote you gave me on the phone. Ties in with what we're saying. It's the duty of the left to abolish our current form of government and replace it with what?
Inclusion and diversity and equality as they define it. They plainly state that they're trying to bring down the walls, bring down the borders, make our society inclusive and diverse. But isn't it interesting how serious they are about protecting their own borders, safe space invasions? And how do you know when you're in a sanctuary city? It's called the city limits. So they actually are very concerned about borders, but only when they suit the purposes. So according to the Declaration of Independence, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Of course, we understand it within the context of the checks and balances form of government called elections, but they're taking that phrase, alter or abolish it, in a completely different direction.
Okay. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio Michelle Bachmann. You've heard her on this program many times. Also, Phil Haney, author of See Something, Say Nothing, a Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad. And Michelle, at the root of this, and there's two issues, and they may be tied together, and I'm not sure which is more prominent, but are those that are seeking to form this one world system. That's why we're talking no borders. I mean, we want borders, but the globalists don't want any borders. And it seems to me that it's the globalists around the world that are participating in this tantrum. It's not just the American left, it's the globalists around the world. They really lost big time back on November 8th.
No, they really did. You're right. And all you have to do is go back to the book of Genesis.
Yes.
With the original builders of Babel.
Right.
And it's always been the same. There's always been two competing ideologies. One that wants to follow the truth of the Lord God, and then those who want to rebel against the Creator God. And those who rebel, for some weird reason, their goal inevitably seems to be the creation of a man-made one-world system. And Scripture tells us that in the end times, that is what Antichrist will be. He will be a part of a one-world system. Well, we have people like that today, in our own day, that actually do want a borderless world with a one-world system, the G28, the Davos types, the billionaires. And this is something that we need to realize isn't something we're making up with a conspiracy. This is a reality. There are people who reject the Judeo-Christian truth and instead want to insert and usurp control of all of our lives with a global economic and political government.
I don't want to quite leave the topic of the pushback coming from the left. I want to play a clip here. It's Monica Crowley. And Michelle, as you came in, you started talking about this clip. You didn't even know I had it ready to go. And this is thanks to John Haller, who tipped me off on this clip. She's been the canary in the coal mine. So was
Michael Flynn.
Michael
Lieutenant
Flynn.
General Michael Flynn.
And these two individuals were, unfortunately, they were probably let go when they shouldn't have been. But
Forced out.
But I want folks to hear the passion in Dr. Monica Crowley's voice as she talks about the intensity of the pushback that we're trying to convey to you folks.
There is a very toxic, and it's getting increasingly toxic and poisonous, atmosphere of personal destruction in Washington and the media. It's always sort of been there, but now it's at a whole different level. And this is exactly why smart and good people do not want to go into government service. I will tell you that nothing and nobody is ever going to stop me from speaking out on the issues I care about the future of this nation. There's also a really bigger point here, which is a lesson
that I learned. General Flynn.
Well, and this is the bigger point. In some ways, I was something of the canary in the coal mine. The attack on me was a test. What happened to me, what happened to General Flynn, what has happened to Attorney General Sessions and others is all of a piece. There is a very dangerous and very effective destabilization campaign underway against this president, his administration, and his agenda. And what I hope that the president and his senior aides understand is that these forces are not just looking to delegitimize him. We often talk about that. Sure, they want to do that. They want to personally destroy him, destroy his presidency, and they would like to see the man in prison. I hope that the president understands. I am not overstating this, having been a victim of this myself. They are out for blood. And the reason they have to destroy him is that Donald Trump is an alien organism that has been injected into the body politic by the American people to reform it. He must not be allowed to succeed. They have swarmed him. They have swarmed everybody around him in order to reject him out of the system, just like any alien organism. He must not be allowed to succeed. And I hope that everybody around him now understands that this is a war and that they started a long time ago, but they will not end until they get the president of the United States.
Michelle Bachmann, you can identify with that, can't you?
No, I really can. And I think all of us have witnessed and have seen that for over 50 years, those builders of Babel, if you will, those who want to destroy the American system of government and instead replace it with a one-world system of government, these people have been very successful in destroying American institutions. It's been one victory after another for them for over 50 years and one defeat for the Judeo-Christian traditional value American ethic for over 50 years. In the Obama administration, they reached their apex. They were literally had within their grasp the G22, the Davos types. They saw the one world economic and political system coming together.
That's
and they assumed with Hillary Clinton as president, they would clinch that. All of that was undermined when Donald Trump won the election. But these people don't give up. That's what we don't understand. That is everything for them, is their strategy to get to one world government. And they will do anything, including lawless actions, to get get there.
I want to read a couple of paragraphs from Hal Lindsey. He was influential as a young person as I was growing in the faith. And folks, just bear with me because it's building on what we're talking about. And he's got some great insights here. And Hal says, I believe that in the coming weeks, months, and years, we will see struggles and battles unlike anything we have witnessed in American politics before. Why? Because the powers of the air are locked in combat. This is supernatural, folks. He goes on to say, I think that is why we are seeing unprecedented rage over the loss of the election still being expressed by the left. It seems many of them are becoming psychologically unhinged. It's unreasonable, and so much of it is factually baseless. But I can't blame it all on the mindlessness of the clueless, the millennials, etc. He says, I believe they are being used by the globalist elites. And then Lindsey goes on to say, when President Trump promised to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, then honored his campaign promise and issued an executive order to start the withdrawal, I think it threw a wrench in the works for the globalists. And when he encourages other nations, especially in the EU, to recover their national sovereignty and dignity, it inflames them all the more. Why else would known globalist billionaires like Soros, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and others dedicate so much wealth and political capital to defeat the Trump agenda? And why would the European Union threaten to refuse to accept Trump's ambassador to the EU? Because restoring America's sovereignty and returning to its strength and prominence stands in the way of their one world government aspirations. And I think it's more than safe to say that Satan plays a great hand in this. Delaying the rise of the one world governance delays the building of the apparatus the Antichrist will later use to govern the world. Nationalism is the enemy of one worldism. One worldism is necessary for the Antichrist rule, and the multinational trade organizations are these deceptive vehicles to the one world government. So folks, opposition to President Trump and his agenda goes deeper than fake news, fake claims of racism, fake claims of misogyny, fake collaboration with the Russians, fake Hitlerism, and the list goes on. These may be the opening skirmishes in the battle to prepare the way for Antichrist himself. Now, I know, Michelle Bachmann, that those who oppose what we're talking about here and are going to pick this up, they're going to say, my goodness, you're the three of us. We're talking about a coming rise of an Antichrist kingdom. They will laugh, mock, and scoff, but it's all in the Bible.
It's all in the Bible. And the interesting thing is, in the natural, former President Bill Clinton gave a speech in mid-March. And in that speech, he lamented to the Brookings Institution this rise of not only here in America, but also in Europe, of a re-embrace of countries wanting to maintain their sovereignty. Mm-hmm. He was saying this is a bad thing, that we had gone very far in this whole idea of everyone living under one law, one rule. I want to ask the question, what rule would that be? What law would that be? Does Saudi Arabia respect American right. democracy? Does Saudi Arabia respect rights of women, of children, of people who believe differently than Sharia law? No, they don't. What is this one world law that all of us would live under, that Bill Clinton yeah. and the globalists, the builders of Babel, think is possible? We know what Holy Scripture says. It foretells that there will be that day when the Antichrist says that there will be a one world system. Those of us who are a believer in the book of the Old and the New Testament, what we want to do is live revolutionary lives in light of the truth of the gospel. That's what brings joy. Yeah. That's what brings freedom. And that's a reprieve and an opportunity that we have right now in this country to live out the values of the gospel.
Again, talking to Michelle Bachmann and also Phil Haney, and many of you got the book, See Something, Say Nothing, A Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad. And where I want to go in my second segment, Phil, I want to get into some Muslim Brotherhood issues, because I think the three of us all agree that's been the shadow government in America. My concern is, it still is, that they're not being cleaned out of the system the way they should be. I want your take on that, because I think if that doesn't happen, then we're just heading down another road with a train wreck up ahead. Folks, I'm coming back in just a minute or two. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
As Jan has already mentioned, if you'd like to have an audio copy of today's edition of Understanding the Times, you might want to wait until next week's broadcast and then request both programs. We think this current series is so informative, you'll want to pass it along to family and friends. If you wish, you can call 763-559-4444 now and place your order for both weeks, or just wait until next week to order. Again, the number 763-559-4444. Don't forget, all our programs are archived at olivetreeviews.org every weekend following the broadcast. Week after week, we bring you cutting-edge information and insights into the times in which we live. We hope we're an inspiration to you. We invite you to help us continue to bring this kind of programming your way. Please consider becoming our financial partner. You can help ensure that we stay on the air in your neighborhood. Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also give securely online at olivetreeviews.org. Coming up, more conversation with Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney right after this. It's not too early to make plans to attend Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, just outside of Minneapolis. Join us at Grace Church in Eden Prairie from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is no cost or registration needed. You can spend the day with like-minded believers who don't think it's strange that you want to understand the times and also discern the times of Bible prophecy. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Our book, the Bible, contains 29% future events. 29% of this book is Bible prophecy. God wants us to know even the future.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
So I don't believe in we should scoff at signs. I don't believe we should be reckless speculators, but I do believe that signs of the times are important and that we live in a time today when the stage is being set.
Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii.
Jerusalem, as Joel Rosenberg calls it, is the epicenter. It is the second hand on God's prophetic clock. You want to know what time it is in terms of Bible prophecy? Look at Jerusalem.
Michelle Bachman.
Jesus Christ is coming back. We, in our lifetimes, potentially could see Jesus Christ returning to earth, the rapture of the church. This is one of the most exciting times in history. We need to be exactly watching the tenor of the times, be observing, and look up our redemption draweth nigh.
Hotel information is posted at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us for complete details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have promised that we'll keep talking about today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and the hope of His return.
Hello, my name is John. This is such a truly blessed event. It's such a pleasure every year to come. The insight and the information that we learn from all the wonderful speakers is important for all of our futures. Personally, Jan's program has been a revelation for me and an inspiration for my spiritual health.
My hope for America is that we're beginning to realize again that we truly are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What really struck me was the morning after the election, and I thought about the Star Spangled Banner, and the psalm begins with a question, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?" It's a question. What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. And I believe that a lot of people went to sleep that night wondering what flag would be flying in the morning. And many woke up to discover, lo and behold, the red, white, and blue was still flying. That against all odds and all predictions and all polls and surveys, that President Trump won the election. And I saw it firsthand traveling across America. And I'm here to encourage my fellow Americans, my fellow believers and citizens to engage, to go forward, because you've been given a tremendous opportunity, a great honor, for unto whom much is given, much is required. So take it and make the most of it in the days ahead.
Understanding the Times Radio continues, but first a quick reminder. You can come hear Michelle Bachmann in person on October 7. Michelle will be one of our featured speakers at our next Understanding the Times conference this fall in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Let's return now to today's guest, Michelle Bachmann and Phil Haney. Once again, Jen Markell.
Throughout American history, most ex-presidents have chosen to move away from Washington, D.C. once their terms have ended. And the vast majority of them have tried very hard not to interfere with their successors. Unfortunately, Barack Obama has opted for the exact opposite approach. His new home is less than 2 miles from the White House. And from this command center, he will be directing the activities of an army of more than 30,000 anti-Trump activists. In fact, this army has already been heavily involved in many of the protests and riots that have been popping up around the nation in recent days. Sabotage is a very strong word, but it is becoming apparent that Obama intends to do all that he can to sabotage the Trump administration, and that is very bad news for the American people. On Saturday, the New York Post ran an excellent article by author Paul Sperry that was entitled, How Obama is Scheming to Sabotage Trump's Presidency. In that piece, Sperry actually accuses Obama of setting up a shadow government to oppose President Trump.
And welcome back, listening to Understanding the Times Radio. And that's just one of the issues we've been talking about on the program today. I have in studio Michelle Bachmann as well as Phil Haney, and I'll say more about Phil's book here as we move along. It's only available at WND.com. We're not carrying it at this time. But here's a quote from Gary Bauer, who I've actually had at one of my conferences. He says, of all the disturbing headlines I read this morning, this may have been the most depressing. Seeing red, membership triples for the Democratic Socialists of America. And then he says, as I have been warning for weeks, the left is on fire. Radical pro-abortion and environmentalist groups have reported record fundraising since the election. Now comes the news that the nation's largest socialist organization has tripled in size over the last year. So we've been talking a little bit in the first segment about organizing for action, shadow government, and the fact that our last president doesn't seem to want to go away. I want to move into some related topics, however. So honored to have Phil Haney in studio with me and his years of experience. He was an original member of the Department of Homeland Security. They just wouldn't let him do his job. Phil Haney, do you think the new Department of Homeland Security is going to be allowed to do its job?
The signs I've seen so far I'm very encouraged by, and I'd like to direct your listeners to a directive that new Secretary of Homeland Security Kelly signed on the 20th of February. It's called Implementation of Immigration Reform. The very first paragraph of the directive says that all previous executive orders and policies are now rescinded. In one directive, Secretary Kelly has begun to dismantle all of the destructive policies of the Obama administration. What's particularly intriguing to me is down on the bottom of page 5 of the directive, which you can see if you look it up online, regarding what is called bringing the privacy right, the Privacy Act, into alignment with existing law, which of course at the plain meaning of the words means that the Privacy Act was not in alignment with law under the Obama administration. And to cut to the chase on the meaning of it, it proves that I was investigated illegally by the Obama administration because they accused me through the Department of Justice and they sought to indict me on criminal charges with the grand jury for abusing the privacy rights of foreign nationals. And now we've come to a point where I have an official document signed by the new Secretary of Homeland Security, Mr. Kelly, by default showing that the Obama administration was abusing the law and going after people who were simply trying to protect our country from threat, both foreign and domestic.
Well, you say let our intelligent agencies do their job and they can protect us. So you are hopeful that the Donald Trump administration will allow these agencies to do their job.
Referring again to the directive of February 20, it specifically discusses Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, Customs and Border Protection, my former agency, and the Border Patrol, giving them, or I should say allowing them, to go back to the standards that we operated under when the agency was created in 2003. The key word is implementation. Okay. There's no unilateral changes of policies in these directives and executive orders that the Trump administration is bringing forward. They are implementation of existing law. Everybody in law enforcement is shouting hallelujah over this one, yes.
Okay, so do you feel that the philosophy of see something, say nothing is history?
That's my hope, and I believe I have enough confidence to say that it's going to fade into the past because the whole structure of law enforcement and threat protection is going to be fact-based now and based on existing law rather than these ever-changing subjective definitions of what the threat is, which in law enforcement is a fatal error because if you don't understand the nature of the threat, you can't protect yourself from it.
I said moments ago that there's almost been a shadow government called the Muslim Brotherhood. Michelle, you paid quite a price. It goes back to 2012, I believe. You spoke about Huma Abedin. To say you were persecuted is such an understatement. And you don't have any regrets, do you?
No, not at all, because I was doing my job and fulfilling my duty, just as Phil Haney was doing his job and fulfilling his duty. We took our duty seriously. We took our oath to the Constitution seriously. We were in very different capacities, one as a representative, one as a part of Homeland Security. But nonetheless, we were trying to follow the law. And because of that, Phil was investigated. I went through the situations that I went through. But no, it is a privilege to stand up and do your position.
There are still threads of the Muslim Brotherhood throughout Washington.
Oh, threads, for heaven's sake.
They're not clean.
That woven fabric is still very much a part of Washington, D.C.
How do we get rid of it?
A few things that I think need to be done. And quite clearly, I think that personnel becomes policy. Phil quoted from policy, good policy that Donald Trump put forward. But again, the culture of the Pentagon, the culture of the Department of Defense, the culture of Homeland Security, the culture of local law enforcement agencies were dramatically changed by the directives and the personnel that Barack Obama put into place. That doesn't change necessarily overnight. And I believe what we need to see are entire agencies ended. I would like to see the Department of Education ended. We don't need a national Department of Education. That can happen at the state level. But I also think we need a tremendous reduction in force of a lot of these federal bureaucracies. And then again, I think Donald Trump needs to put in people who agree with him, who are loyal to him in these positions to carry out and implement what he wants to do. A very good example, the acting U.S. attorney, a female, chose to disobey the directive of the president. In other words, she substituted herself as president, and she was disobeying Donald Trump's directives. She was fired. That is one very high-level example of personnel deciding that they're going to go with their beliefs as opposed to Donald Trump's. Don't think that isn't happening down the line through a lot of these agencies. And that's why personnel can be policy, and there probably needs to be personnel changes as well as policy changes. It won't happen overnight. People need to continue to pray and do our part in this as well.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. In studio, Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney. And Phil, when we talked on the phone for actually several hours recently, and you stated it so simply, and yet it's still so shocking. The goal of these organizations is Sharia law. Sharia law in America. And am I concluding properly that the progressive left is okay with Sharia law in America to a certain degree? Are they okay with it from border to border?
They have their own goals, of course, the progressive left. They want to alter or abolish the current form of government. And they're willing to form an alliance with anyone else that feels the same way. In all honesty, I don't think the progressive left really realizes how malevolently violent the Muslim Brotherhood and the global Islamic movement actually are. They think they're co-partners in this noble cause to alter and abolish this corrupt and racist government, but they have no clue who they're really dealing with. This ideology of implementation of the supremacy of Sharia law has been played out over and over for 1400 years. There are many societies and governments that have fallen to the influence of Islam over history. We're no exception to it, but what we do have that is unique in all of history is this powerful protection of the Declaration and the Constitution. That's our true wall. Sharia law claims by its own definition to be superior to all other forms of man-made law. That would include the Constitution.
That's
Whereas
right.
The Constitution, because of the genius of our forefathers, wrote Article 6 that says that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. They actually foresaw a time when our country would come to the point where we might argue about what form of law we should live under, and they put it into the statute. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So we have our defense against any other form of law, including Sharia.
The American left cares less about our Constitution.
Well, that's obvious, because if they did care about the Constitution, some of these recent judgments opposing the executive orders of President Trump would have never been made. They completely disregarded the statutes that these executive orders were based on and made their own subjective political decisions based on their ideology, which they consider to be superior to constitutional law.
I'm going to build on this, if that's okay, which is a short soundbite here of Brigitte Gabriel. I want to play just a short soundbite of her to kind of build on what you're saying.
We've established that one of the greatest single threats to our national security is Islamic extremism. And, you know, I've been even watching videos that of things that you've talked about on the internet of this extreme mentality has actually infiltrated the highest realms of our government by a plan developed by the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. The Muslim Brotherhood wrote a plan. You know, we all hear about the Muslim Brotherhood, and we heard a lot about them with the Arab Spring. Remember the Arab Spring?
Egypt.
Everybody was so excited about democracy has come to the Middle East. And who was driving the Arab Spring? The Muslim Brotherhood. Now, our government, I remember giving interviews on the radio, and they, you know, and I'm saying, this is a disaster. These are the Muslim Brotherhoods who want to establish the caliphate, the Islamic State. And people would say, no, but look at them. You know, they're all in suits, and they're wearing jeans, and they look so educated. Well, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood is the most educated group in Egypt. When you look at the founding of people who are members of the Muslim Brotherhood, Muhammad Osama bin Laden was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muhammad Atta, the ringleader of the September 11th attack, was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He was an engineer. Ayman al-Zawahiri, who's the head of Al-Qaeda, is a member, was a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's a surgeon. So we're not talking about stupid people. We're talking about highly educated people. So the Muslim Brotherhood wrote a plan, a 100-year plan for radical Islam to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. And the counterterrorism circles, this plan became known as the Project. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood was established in 1928. This is one thing that most Americans did not realize, because with the Arab Spring, everybody thought, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood is a new phenomenon. The Muslim Brotherhood was established in 1928 for the sole purpose of re-establishing the caliphate, or the Islamic State, resurrecting the Islamic State. Since then, the Muslim Brotherhood has established 70 offshoot Islamic organizations, including Al-Qaeda and Hamas, and now ISIS. The head of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, was in our prisons in 2011 as a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. So the Muslim Brotherhood wrote a plan, a 100-year plan for radical Islam to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. They already established it. The caliphate has already been established now, right?
Yes.
The Islamic State has been established. They started implementing their plan in Europe in the 80s. And what they talk in the plan is they give tactics and proposals on how to infiltrate the West, how to use our laws against us, how to use our open-mindedness against us. Mm-hmm. They talk about how to use buzzwords like tolerance, democracy, mm-hmm. interfaith, diversity, mm-hmm. in order to con Westerners. So they say if you use those words, they'll be lapping out of your hands like dogs.
Well, they did con Westerners. And Phil, you said to me that these outfits, Muslim Brotherhood related, saw our election, see our election as a, you used the word calamity.
Well, I only repeated the word. The Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America, yeah. I'll repeat that name. The Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America, some call it AMJA, is a Sharia organization operating in the United States. They're based in Sacramento, California. There are about 100 individuals who make up the scholars and experts of Sharia. Nearly all of them were educated at Al-Azhar University in Cairo, okay. Egypt, the seat of Sunni learning. So if the people who are listening think that maybe the Muslim Brotherhood is over there in Europe or over mm-hmm. there in the Middle East, right. but not here, I'd like to tell you the name of this organization that promotes Sharia law right here in the United States in Arabic. Majama Fukaha al-Sharia bi-Amrikia, which means the group of lawyers promoting Sharia in America. So if, as they constantly say, the apologists in the media, that the Muslim community in the United States has no intention of implementing Sharia law, then why do they have a major organization doing exactly that, headed by trained Sharia scholars that includes the name Sharia in their organization's name? Al-Sharia bi-Amrikia, Sharia law in America. We need to address that organization and compare that to what Article 6 says in the Constitution.
We see what Phil is saying played out here in the state of Minnesota. Amen. We have a very strong CARE, the Council on Islamic Relations, and what they're actively doing right now is filing one lawsuit after another against companies here in Minnesota to force these companies to comply with Islamic Sharia law. Now, why in the world would a local business be forced to comply? The way that they do this is they'll have a Muslim who gets a job as an employee make one grievance after another that the company should be forced to accommodate to Islamic law as a form of cultural and religious multicultural diversity. And they file one lawsuit after another, knowing that businesses are in business to make money for whatever it is that they're trying to sell their product or service. They don't have time to spend all this money on lawsuits, but CARE and these Islamic organizations are wildly successful in advancing the implementation of Islamic law through public schools, through public accommodation of community centers, community colleges, etc. For instance, here in Minnesota, public schools serve, quote, halal food, Islamic Sharia compliant food in our local cafeterias and public schools. And can you imagine if Baptist kids came in and said, we want accommodation, or Catholic kids said, we want accommodation? Are you kidding? They'd be drummed out of the schools and called bigots and racists. But now today, we willingly see over and over and over again, whether it's private businesses or whether it's public schools, not just here in Minnesota, but in all 50 states, this is actively going on. Because I think what Phil is saying is that there's a strategy. There's a strategy from the Muslim Brotherhood. And the ultimate strategy is Sharia law will dominate and will supplant the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
We can't believe that.
No,
that's
we
so far out. That's
absolutely
so treasonous. We can't believe it. But that is their plan. And little by little, the water is heating up in the kettle, and the United States is embracing more and more of Islamic Sharia law.
We obviously have a lot of information to cover, folks. We're actually going to do a second program. So if you'd like to get a CD of the two programs, I encourage you to wait until next week, though you can call anytime for a couple of CDs if you'd like to get several and hand them out to people who just don't have access to this kind of information. I'm coming back. We have a short segment coming up. I'm not through with some of these Islamic issues yet. And Phil, you said there's no point in building a wall and tactical operation overseas if we don't address the nature of the threat in front of us. And I do want to know from you if you feel that Donald Trump understands the threat in front of us. And I believe he does, just based on the passion I see in his countenance when he talks about keeping America safe. We're coming back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We know you're enjoying today's discussion on Understanding the Times. Remember, this is the first of a two-part series. Next weekend, join us for part two of Jan's conversation with Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney. You can order your own audio copies of these two programs. We recommend you request both parts of the series. Place your order by phoning 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can access all our resources, including all broadcast programming, online at olivetreeviews.com. olivetreeministries.org. We get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In just a moment, we'll conclude today's program. Please stay with us.
This program has tried to provide a voice for the remnant believers for almost 16 years. We began on one station in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, but quickly expanded as those who wanted the truth of our times were across the country. We can't thank you enough for being a part of our team with your giving and your prayer support. The Olive Tree family has grown beyond all our expectations. To keep this message alive in your neighborhood, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries in 2017? Just write Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or find our donate page online at olivetreeviews.org. You can always call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Remember, we keep an eye on today's headlines, but we also look at what the Bible says about tomorrow and the hope of His return.
Understanding the times in which we live keeps us prepared for the changes coming to our world. The Bible is clear that the last days will be full of deception, delusion, and corruption like the world has never known. Every week we deliver to you insights that discern our days and bring you hope. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
This is Jan Markell, and our mission as a ministry calls believers to think beyond the news to see how the truth is being dismissed and rejected. Today, when many broadcasters are talking about safety, we are talking about the loss of truth. Thanks for joining me here on this radio station.
Now let's wrap up our discussion on today's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome back. Remember, you can get a CD of any program. I encourage you to get a CD of this weekend's program and next week, because it'll be part two next week with Michelle Bachman and Phil Haney. Become a CD subscriber, just $15 a month. Please call us on that. We've got to use a credit card. If you do contact us and you send a gift, always please tell us what station you are listening to. And I want to continue on here and wrap up this hour. Then we're going to do another hour next weekend. But Phil Haney, I teased here back in the last segment, and I said that I sense in the countenance of Donald Trump that he wants to keep America safe. We've been talking here about the Muslim Brotherhood, about Sharia law, about the infiltration that's going on, but we finally have a president who, I think you would agree with me, and Michelle too, who does want to keep us safe.
President Trump has a great heart for America. We began to see it in the rallies around the country, and any of those listening who had the chance to go to a rally would knew right away that he has a great love for people and that they have a natural love for him as well. And his statements, starting with the campaign and leading up to the inauguration and then the address to Congress, he keeps emphasizing, I will not let you down. I've got your back. I'm going to support America, and I'm going to protect her from the threat, both foreign and domestic. And as a law enforcement officer and my colleagues in the military, we've been waiting a long time to hear somebody in the executive branch of the government that would say that. And we're all in on making that happen and doing all that we can. It's part of fulfilling our vow, is to support our elected president. We are willing and able to do it. And I believe, based on what I can see of President Trump, that he has full intention to do just that.
Michelle Bachman, what are your thoughts about the men and women Donald Trump has surrounded himself with?
There's a lot of good people that he has brought in. So many of the people either worked for me or I knew them when I was in Washington, D.C. Very good people. One thing I really like about Donald Trump is he has wonderful pro-America 1950s John Wayne kind of sensibilities. He's not a policy guy. He doesn't have a background in policy, but he has good gut instincts as he surrounded himself with very solid people. But there's a whole wide panoply of people that are around him. This is where I think the believer comes in. We need to be lifting up this president and the administration, because remember, the Proverbs talks about those who speak into the ear of the king. Because specifically the president doesn't have a lot of policy background, we need to pray that the right counselors speak into this president's ear. Let's make sure that every day we covenant together that we are going to pray for our president, we're going to pray for his counselors, and we're going to pray for this administration. Remember, there's only over 50 years of straight line damage that's been done to our Constitution in this country. And now Donald Trump has a brief window of opportunity to be able to rectify and change some of these things that have happened. It's not going to happen overnight, but we need to ask God for boldness, wisdom, and understanding to set this country back on a positive trajectory.
Phil, I know you would agree with that.
I've been traveling around the country for the last year, partly related to the book and the story that's in the book, and I've noticed a growing glimmer in the eyes of the people that I meet across the country, and I would like to encourage people to cultivate that. The glimmer is hope, and my message has always been hope from the very beginning. What I talk about is a remarkably serious and ominous topic, but nonetheless, we shouldn't forget, we shouldn't lose hope that it's the Lord himself that instituted government among men to preserve our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that if we believe in the Creator who instituted government, then it's incumbent upon us to participate in that government. The debates within the faith community about whether we should, in my opinion, are counterproductive and even misguided. If we believe in the Creator, we have a responsibility to participate in the government. The Bible says that in many different ways. Cultivate the glimmer of hope that's in you and participate in the process. And I don't think that people should ever say, well, I'm only, or I'm just one, because there's a thing called God's economy. And we can't measure, quantify the value of the contributions that each one of us make. The Lord can, and he even keeps track of a cup of water if we give that in his name. So don't minimize what you can do. You start with where you are, and you work out from there with what the gifts the Lord has given you. And if it's prayer, or if it's political participation, whatever arena you operate in, make the most of it, because we have, as Michelle has said earlier, this opportunity, both in the spiritual and in the natural, to really participate in, let's call it a political or a social or a religious revival. People have been praying for revivals for years. Well, we're looking at one, a potential one, right now, if we can recognize what's right in front of us.
Well, I want to spend some time in the second program that we're going to be doing next weekend, just talking about the reprieve that we were given back on November 8th. And I happened to be with a group of people just a few days before November 8th, and I saw their passion, I saw their prayer, I saw tears pouring down their cheeks as they prayed that God would have mercy on that day. I'll never forget it, ever. And Phil, you said to me, let's have courage to redeem the time. We are in a battle. We need to pray for Donald Trump and team. We have a battle for the American way of life. And I think, Michelle, the thing that, and we're being really positive here, and that's important, but the left is not going to give up their agenda. They've been at this for 100 years or more. They're not going to give it up.
Right, because this is everything
this
for
is
them.
This is everything for
because
them.
Because for many of them, this is the only world that they
that's right.
can believe in. They can't believe in the world yet to come. And yet we have the great hope that lies within us that this isn't it. Thank God this isn't it. This is where we're living in the glass darkly. And then we'll be face to face. And so for many of us, we recognize we're pilgrims on this earth. And the greater life is the one that is yet to come. He will come and he will get us and take us to be with him, or we will leave and go and, and meet him there, one of the two.
Possibly soon.
Possibly soon. And I think we have a great commission that we've been given to carry out. And that commission is a revolutionary life changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Politics is downstream. It is downstream from culture. It is downstream from morality. And it is downstream from faith. We have an opportunity in our faith to live live out the truth that will change the world. And I'm extremely excited for your listening community that this is something that we can do together. We can covenant together in prayer through intercession. And I want to encourage everyone again this spring to read, reread slowly, slow it down, and read the book of Acts and see that that wasn't just 2,000 years ago. Those same promises and those same principles are available today for a sick, lost, and dying world, because this little candle does dispel the darkness. It isn't us. It is the power and work of the gospel, first, last, and always, that changes this world.
Be salt and light and delay the decay. I want to just say one more word about Phil Haney's book. I'll say another couple of words about our next program. You can find See Something, Say Nothing, A Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government Submission to Jihad, WND.com or Amazon.com, either one. You can only get it online. So I've read it cover to cover. We did two programs on it a year ago. Tremendous insight, a little bit unnerving, but very much living out 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about the perilous, perilous times that are going to come in the last days. And all of us here today have a different perspective on the last days. Things aren't falling apart. They're actually falling into place. So if you'd like to get a CD of both programs, I encourage you to do that. Hand them out to friends who are just not tuned in to some of these issues. I want to close on an equally positive couple of thoughts here. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended, and when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. He is never early, and he's never late. He's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. And I want to thank both of you for coming in today. I want to thank you all for listening. We're going to continue this next weekend. So again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.